Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I am on here with Illini guy Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince, Director of Recruiting for Illini Guys. Brad, we just saw a team that was suddenly without Kofi Coburn, and they definitely struggled on a court that the Illini have never won a Big Ten game at. What did you see out there that fans should be taking a look at?
Well, no, I didn't play well. Didn't guard. That was the best offensive performance of the year for Maryland. When you give up the best offensive performance of the year for the other team, you're probably going to lose. I mean, Maryland's, I believe, and I maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Maryland had scored more points per possession they have all year. They got to the rim. They only had no answer for Dante Scott. It was funny. You know, last game, everybody wrote about how Illinois shut him down in the second half, held him to one basket and all this stuff. And evidently, he took that personally. Yeah. So he scored 25 in this one and dominated. I thought the game, my personal opinion, if I'm going to pick one thing that – I mean, everybody's going to pick out this and that. And defense. The 10-minute stretch to start the second half I thought was the key in the game. Because Illinois didn't sub for 10 solid minutes. They came out hot. They took the lead. They were up 48-42 at one point. And they were basically completely and utterly gassed. That would have been a time right there. You knew they're gassed. They're running on fumes. And they're a jump shooting team. They didn't make jump shots the rest of the night because they were so gassed. Get a timeout. Get some guys in. Put some subs in so you get some fresh legs back. But they didn't do that. And I really think that what's happening here, and I could be – maybe I'm crazy here. I feel like that right now this team is worn down. I think Kofi was worn down. I think the idea, the whole everyday guys mentality is wonderful. But I don't think you can continue to run these guys into the ground. I think we saw it last year in the tournament. I think we're seeing that again. You got to play more guys. You got to give guys more breaks. Even if it's a minute of time here, a minute of time, they can't play these crazy long stretches like this. I think it's fatigue is setting in. And I really that's my biggest question mark right now. I think that you don't have, you know, and then I also think you don't play guys. They're not ready to play when it's time for them. They have to play. You got Kofi out. Obviously, that's huge. And, you know, that changed the game because you look at Maryland kicked Illinois' butt in Champaign when Kofi wasn't on the floor. I mean, it was like they won by a point a minute more when he was on the floor and lost by like 12 or something when he was off the floor. So this isn't it shouldn't have been like crazy shocking that they lost, but it also it's disappointing that they didn't have the same effort. I thought they had dead legs again after the first bit of that second half. And so those are things you got to do. And I just don't know why they didn't see it. I could see it. I'm sure other people could see it. I just don't know why they didn't see it.
Ed, what did you see out there when?
Well, take half of what Brad said and copy and paste it to me, because anybody who's listened to the podcast, you've heard me complain about this for a long time. You have three guys, in my opinion. I really think Luke Goody, RJ Melendez, and Brendan could give you more minutes for multiple reasons. I think personally, and I talked to Brad today, so this isn't us just sitting here making up things. I told Brad Sturdy today, I think Kofi's tired. He's limping down the court. He's missing dunks. They're tired. He's a big guy. Look at the amount of minutes that he was logging at Nebraska. You could tell how tired he was. They are tired. And to me, here's a sign of being tired. Coleman Hawkins, Benjamin Balsman for dunk, and Omar Payne. Three guys, 6'11", 6'10", 6'9", had four rebounds for the entire game. I DeMonte had eight, and I think that's great. I'm not mad, DeMonte. He didn't shoot the ball well, but guess what? I think Luke Goody could have knocked down some of those shots. I know RJ could have, and I know Brendan could have. You got to trust those guys. And my thing, I've said all year long, there's going to be games where Kofi gets in foul trouble, and you're not going to have him. Well, now he's home with concussion protocol. All those games where you didn't play Omar Payne, you should have done that. Those are games where I personally think early in the season, let him play through those mistakes, because here's why. DeMonte got beat back door. He didn't come out of the game for that. if Omar Payne made a stupid play against some junior high team early in the season, let him play through it. Because guess what? Kofi may be gone next year. And you need a proven guy. Because if there was nothing in the paint tonight, Maryland attacked that paint. They saw it, and they didn't think twice about it. And I think DeMonte, I felt bad for him because he's a good defensive player. They attacked him. Maybe he's tired. But at the end of the day, the game's not going to stop. They're not going to. And if the thing is for me, and this is old school, I know when they warm up for games, it's like a practice. To me, I save their legs. Like I said to you, if anybody who has recorded any Illinois basketball games, watch the last four or five games and watch Kofi barely. He's limping. You can clearly see it. Trent's legs, his shot were short tonight. They were left and they were right. Those are shots that he makes. And you know what? He's logged tons of minutes. I expect that from Cabello. But it's just, to me, to be honest with you, they don't play Maryland well, even when they had him at home. Some teams, regardless of the record, they just have your number. And I think Maryland has Illinois' number. It's a tough loss to me because they were the, 13th best team in the league, and you lose to them. But you didn't have your big man. But if you want to show signs of the future, Kofi won't be there for 10 years. You got to win games without him.
Well, and as I looked at it, the one thing I was wanting to see was if Coleman Hawkins could handle Scott. Maybe he could, maybe he couldn't, but we never really saw that matchup. And I was kind of surprised we didn't. Now, in fairness, I didn't go back and do all my homework and look at, you know, how they played, you know, did they match up here in Champaign? And maybe there was something there that made Coach Underwood think he wasn't going to do that. But at that point, we'd kind of thrown everything at Scott, and it hadn't made any difference. So I would have liked to have seen Coleman Hawkins. Now, from a fatigue standpoint, I will say that, you know, when you look at some of these guys, you know, they haven't played. I don't know if Hawkins played enough even tonight to be that tired. He played 11 minutes or so. But I do agree, though, with you, Ked, about, you know, when you invest in the future with some of the younger players early in the season, when you get into these weird games, you have that chance of that freshman exploding on you and doing something that you don't really expect. The other thing, Brad, is the defense just wasn't there. And whether it was fatigue, whether it was, I don't know, but I've heard a lot of times, you know, and Coach really talks about this, defense travels. But, boy, this was the night that they just didn't seem to have that intensity on defense from the opening tip. And it never really got there except for maybe one little brief point in the game.
Mike, can I make a comment on that?
Sure.
And I'm not being hypocritical. I don't know if that's actually true. And here's why I say that. I just think Maryland made shots out of their you-know-what. They made some tough shots. And I don't think Illinois, it was their best defensive effort. But sometimes, I mean, at one point in the second half, I don't remember what it was, they were shooting 50%. Illinois is always going to guard. I mean, I've not seen DeMonte get abused like that in a very, very long time. Coleman Hawkins wasn't quick enough to guard him. But I just think sometimes you just have those days. And think about it. Illinois' record against Maryland is not very, very good. And it's just one of those. And I think from a confidence standpoint, they knew it. Didn't matter. Guys chucking up three-pointers, making free throws. Every time Illinois had a run, they answered. That's not a good basketball team. I just think it was one of those games where everything went in that they shot. And I know Coach Underwood, the only comment that I heard from him, from anybody tonight, was his team wasn't tough enough. And I don't know. Maybe he meant rebounding. Like I said to you, let that soak in. Four rebounds. And there was a 40-minute basketball game. And then you have a 6'4 guard, maybe if he's 6'4, who leads your team with eight. That's toughness.
Brad, any thoughts there?
Well, I thought Illinois stunk on defense. I thought they did a poor job of helping. I thought their rotations were bad. I thought they fouled jump shooters, you know, on the three, Plummer fouling the three that one time as they had opportunities. They forced them in tough shots. Then I think the other problem was that they would go for block shots on terrible, crazy-ass shots, send three guys after the guy trying to block shot, and then they give up a putback. They give up 8 second-chance points in like a four-minute span in the first half, which basically allowed Maryland to stay in the game. Honestly, exactly. Illinois could have. They forced them into tough shots. They don't give up those 8 points. You know, they're probably up at halftime, and it just changes everything. Those little things, and the devil's always in the details when it comes to this stuff. You got to block out. I felt like they were, and it goes back to maybe they're dead-legged, but they're not giving that same effort on the defensive glass all the time. I can't really blame Bello. You had to feel like he was going to have a bad game. I mean, you know, you went into this, I thought he was going to have a bad game. I really did. I thought he was going to struggle because he had such a good game the game before. They were going to shut down Trent. That was their game plan, was we're going to do a great job on Trent because Trent killed him last time, if you recall. And so they're going to keep him. Well, we don't have Kofi, so – Jacob Grandison, I thought, stepped up and did some good things, but defensively he can't handle a lot of those guys. And this is an air team. And you know, you talk about matchups. Ked mentioned it earlier. Maryland is long. They play long. Scott's 6'8 at the four, and he can post up, but he can also shoot it. So he's not like you're – and he can also put it on the floor. So he's a different guy. And the way Illinois plays defense, they want to force them to play isolation basketball. Underwood told me that last time we played Maryland. They want them to play isolation basketball, and it bit them in the ass tonight. They just could not stop them. Now, maybe they made tough shots, and they did, or especially early, I thought, they made some tough shots. Late, they just let them get deep position. Now, you mentioned Coleman, Hawkins, Garden, Scott. There were I was going back while you were – I was looking at him. There was three or four possessions where he guarded him. He did score once, but he also got forced a turnover, had a block, and made him pass at one time. So there are – or maybe I don't know if they called it a block, a deflection or whatever.
Right.
But they but he had like four possessions, and he only scored once. So I thought Hawkins was the matchup for Dante Scott. Now, can Coleman play as many minutes right now coming off the flu? Maybe he can't. You know,
right,
so
exactly.
I don't know what his health status is, so that makes it hard. So I think there are a lot of things that, you know, went wrong. But Illinois, at the end of the day, you led by six in the second half. And you had a chance to win the game. They made poor decisions. They made some bad passes, took some bad shots. You know, I thought they got so three-point centric. Like, put the ball on the floor and take it to the rim. I mean, they're so spread out. If you watch, that lane was so open. It was insanely open. Like, they were like, just put it on the floor. I dare you to go shoot it at the rim. And Illinois was like, nope, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to shoot a three over you while you're contesting it. I'll slide two steps sideways like Steph Curry, and I'll shoot a three. I mean, it just was like crazy. And it'd be different if they were making them. But to be honest, they shot 31% from three.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, you know, they didn't shoot the ball well from three. So this is not a game where they took a lot of forced shots. And so, you know, you're going to lose the game. I thought they lost composure. I don't know whether that was because Kofi wasn't there. I don't know what it was, but they really first time that I've seen this team on the road totally lose their composure in man, I don't know. When's the last time? I can't even tell you. 3 years. It's been a while.
Yeah. And I was really looking for Bello once, you know, he got that lob up to Payne. I was thinking now he's going to start, you know, knifing through the defense. And we'll see opportunities for Payne and Bosman and Hawkins to get some layups or some lob dunks. And it just never really materialized. And that's where I thought we might have some opportunities. Now, they were also really pulling off of Curbelo when he drove. And they did the same thing to DeMonte. They were almost like, you know, it was almost like they were trying to sucker him in a little bit, which is what we have seen in the past. People do with some frequency is suck him in on the drive and then collapse. That's Wisconsin's deal for how to stop Curbelo.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned that. It's a very good point. It seems like what they're going to do, they're going to play off DeMonte and then just completely close out and force him to dribble. I mean, just play off him and help. But then just run at him as hard as you can and make him dribble because he doesn't, you know, I don't know what he can't make a shot that isn't a three, and couldn't make a three tonight. So he, you know, it's really a bad combination on the offensive end. He gives you the toughness, the rebounding. He had six assists, one turnover, but they got to get more from those spots. And So I don't know. It's
having Bosman's Verdonk and DeMonte out there on nights that neither one of them is particularly hot. Boy, that makes it much easier on a defense when really you've got three guys that you've got to watch, you know, and then it gives you a look as a guy who made his money on defense, you know, to me, that was a nice evening if I thought I could go 5-on-3.
So, I went back and I was looking at the action. So early in the game, they ran this action where they were bringing the guy, they'd pass the wing. They ran these actions where they're coming off ball screens after a pass. In the second half, they went to more horn sets. They went to high ball screens. There was no ball reversal action. And I was like, why are we going, you know, this is working. You know, Payne got a dunk. Bosman's got a, you know, screen and roll, got a layup. Payne got another layup from Frazier. And I felt like they went away from what was working. It was like they tried to get too smart. Like, oh, well, they're going to adjust to this, so we'll do this. It's like, make them stop you. You know, it's like, if you can run it up the middle for 7 yards every play, just run up the middle until you have a touchdown. There's no point like trying to, well, no, we're going to pass it because watch how cool we are. I have a great plan. No, just keep running the damn ball.
Well, you know, and
I just don't understand like why they don't do those things.
Yeah, and I liken it to when I used to play guys who were way quicker than me. Every once in a while, you'd get that player who fakes to the right and goes back to the left super quick. I could stop them every time because I wasn't fast enough to follow the fake. And when they came back at me, there I was. And they were like, how does this guy stop this? And I'm like, I haven't moved yet. And it almost seemed like we didn't let them try to adjust to a couple of those plays. And we could have just kept running it on them. I agree with that. Ked, what did you see?
Well, I'll tell you, earlier we were talking about just jump shooting team. Illinois shot 10 free throws. They shot 25. And I don't think it was officiating. So there was calls that you're not going to like all the time, but that didn't cost them the game. I thought if it was me, I would have tried to. I would have got the ball down low. I would have tried to let Omar and Benjamin try to draw some fouls. They dictated the game. They thought they were going to come out and I'll shoot them, and it didn't happen. And if you don't get to the – you know what? The kiss of death was when Plummer missed his free throw. I'm like, this is over. Because this guy has just one free throw all year, you know, and, you know, we talked about the whole tired leg things, but I will go back and I'm going to harp on this a long time because if you look at all the teams in the conference, they're playing some of the younger guys, even if it's one or two of them. 1 or 2 minutes is, I don't think. I'm not questioning what they're doing. I just don't know if I agree with it, and it's their thing. I just know at this late in the season, when you push and you work and you grind, because truthfully, there was another guy made a comment to me about a month or two ago. They thought that's why they lost to Loyola. They looked tired. They looked fatigued. They looked like they were just exhausted. And so to me, I don't know. And I know Coach Underwood did say, you know, a while back that he may look at doing something different, you know, in September and October because his team gets better, you know, late in the year. But this year, I don't know. I have concerns. Because, you know, our inside game, if Kofi gets hurt, COVID, ankle injury, foul trouble. I mean, it looked good the other night against Purdue, you know, because you had an out-of-body experience for Andre Cabello. But moving forward, just little things that they have to do. And I personally want to see RJ play. I think RJ can give you some point production when you're struggling because nobody's going to expect anything. And, I mean, let's call a spade. If RJ is going to hurt you defensively, so was Andre Plummer. Like I said to you, they're all going to make mistakes. You got to live with them, and then they become better because you're going to need those kids next year. Not just giving up on this season, but like you said, even if it's for 2 or 3 minutes. And I think I remember seeing Brad's tweet, 10 minutes without a sub, he never does that. He never does that. And I don't know if that's because he's not comfortable with them or not. You know. And if you got one of those younger guys out there with 4 starters or 3 starters, I don't think they're going to hurt you. I just don't. Especially if you use them like you do everything else with the media timeout coming up. Let them gain that experience because you never know what you're going to need at the tournament, the Big Ten tournament, because that's that's going to be tough. Playing 3 or 4 games in a row. So it's a tough loss. It's ugly. Nobody can sit and tell me that it's a good loss. Oh, I want to make this other comment before I start rambling. Somebody got mad at DeMonte because of him dribbling the basketball. Let me tell you, they grabbed his arm. It was. And I don't care. I don't want some people. Oh, you got to play through it. You can't dribble a basketball if they grab your arm. You're going to lose the ball. You can't shoot the ball if they're going to hit you. Okay? You occasionally can, you know, retain it or the shot may go in. But it's a physical game, and everybody wants to get mad at DeMonte. Yeah, he struggled shooting the basketball. But next week they're going to be happy because he did something great. It's just the way the game is, man. You can't have your cake and ice cream and eat it too.
Brad?
So, Ked, you're saying that Illinois fans can be a little bit over-passionate and irrational? Is that what you're saying?
You know,
I can't believe that. I can't believe that, Ked.
Yeah. You know,
it stinks, man. I'm telling you what. This loss stinks. It was a bad loss. They lost badly. They finished terribly. Got blown out down the stretch. Ended up losing by 16 in a game you led in the second half. It's all bad, right? I mean nothing. I don't think there's anything positive out of this game. At the same time, I remember 1989. Illinois went on the road to Wisconsin. Wisconsin finished under 500 in the Big Ten. And this was probably the best Illinois team to ever go on a basketball court. And they lost by 20. 72 to 52 to Wisconsin. Flying Illini. It's like we forget that you're going to have crappy games. You're going to have games when you suck. In fact, here's the reality. Here's the reality. I'm gonna lay it out there for you guys. Here's the reality. In a season of 31 games, you're going to play well. The best team in the country might play well half the time.
Correct.
They might play well half the time. They're going to also have really bad performances seven or eight times in a third. That's the best team in the country. It just happens they can still win if they have a boatload of talent. And probably Illinois could have played like complete dog crap tonight. If Kofi Coburn was on the floor, they still win. And that's the difference. Illinois has a margin for error when Kofi's on the floor. They don't have that when he's not. This is the reality. People think these are robots. They're humans. They're going to have good games. They're going to have bad games. They're going to have games when they are utterly awful. If you've ever played a sport, you understand that you have bad, awful, terrible games. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what level you are. Have you watched the Chicago Bulls the last few weeks? They went from being number one seed and they were playing great, just getting blown out of games. And yeah, I know they're missing guys. Well, Illinois is missing a guy. This happens. This is sports. What you have to do is then pick up the pieces and bring it back.
Well, it happens.
Play better the next time.
It happens in a game. I mean, look, right now as we're recording, Wisconsin up 8-0 on Michigan State? Now it's 40-26 Michigan State at the half, and it's in Wisconsin. So, I mean, you know, this is one of the things I guess that people do have to remember is we're talking 18-23-year-old kids, and so you're going to have more variance in performance there that you would, otherwise, you know, at different times of life. And ultimately, I guess, you know, I keep looking at this as like, you've got to figure out what you can learn. And I will say the one thing that I would challenge any coach in is, you know, the coaches try to push players out of their comfort zones to make them better. You know, you try to force Kofi to learn how to shoot free throws. That's not what he wants to do, but you try to force him to do that to get better. You try to force him to pass the ball out of the post and not turn into the black hole that once a basketball goes in, it's never coming back out. And that's uncomfortable for Kofi to learn that. Well, as a coach, maybe you have to force yourself to be a little bit uncomfortable, and you have to throw in, you know, Pods and RJ and Luke Goody. And then you maybe you put each one of them in with four established players, and maybe you just got to cover that right eye so you don't see them. And let them do something. And maybe that's something the coaching staff has to challenge themselves on. I don't know. I tend to think that I go back to Lou Henson used to say that you play six games up to your potential every year. You play six games that you're just horrible every year, which leaves you 20 games that you play normal that you have to figure out how to win.
Yeah, I totally agree with
that. I agree with that. And, you know, and the thing is, you know, Brad, you mentioned the 89 team. They were number one in the country and then lost the very next game because of one of the best players went out with an ankle injury to Minnesota. You're going to lose games. I mean, people act like you're – I mean, and I get it. It stinks to lose. But everybody there's upsets every week in college basketball. Illinois is not the only team. How do you think Purdue feels? Because let's be honest, everybody thought Purdue was the number one team. A lot of us picked Illinois second, which I still feel that way. I really do. But how do you think the Purdue fans felt when they went to Rutgers and got beat? It's going to happen. And I'm sorry, they went to Indiana. They hadn't won in Indiana in 9 trips, and they lost last night. So losing stinks. You just got to get better, and you just can't accept it and let it linger. You can't let one loss, like Coach Underwood said, become 3, 4, 5. And I think this team's too talented to let that happen. But, yes, I understand fans are frustrated. But then to get on social media and start ripping these kids and their personal lives, and why? It's going to happen. You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to probably lose again. And so will Michigan State, and so will Wisconsin. It's going to happen again. And you know what? Michigan State right now was playing great. One of the teams that nobody ever gives credit to was Northwestern. They lost to them. Minnesota went to Michigan and won. So one of the worst teams in the conference. Relax.
Yep. Well, fans don't relax because fan is short for fanatics. So, you know, true. And I got to be honest with you. You know, as a Cowboy fan, you know, I'm ready for Jerry Jones to, you know, hand off the team to his kid. And Jerry Jones is never going to do that. Will say.
Well, and you mentioned, if you're a Cowboy fan, you know that coaching matters too, right?
Oh, God.
And, yes. I thought they didn't do a good job tonight coaching. And I love the coaching staff. I think they're great guys. I think they're good coaches. I think Underwood's a really good coach. I didn't think he had a good night tonight. You know, I
agree.
That's okay. I've had bad games as a coach. Yep. I've looked back and said, I've had games and I went, God, what was I thinking? Why would I do that? What was I thinking? Why didn't I do this? This would have worked. After the fact, it's easy. But during the moment, you make mistakes. Everybody does. There's not a coach in the world. And if there's a coach who says, well, I don't do that, then they're not a good coach. They're probably some guy who won like a bitty league title because they had the 5 best players in the grade.
I got to be honest with you. There's several, you know, didn't happen very often. There's a couple times with my teams where I would walk into, you know, the post game area at an AAU tournament. I'd say that one's on me, guys, because I didn't put you in a position to win, and you guys weren't able to pull a rabbit out of your hat. And I don't know that I don't think that coach had any that the staff didn't have anything that egregious tonight, but I felt like they were overly conservative tonight, and I felt like they were waiting for something to happen instead of trying to set something up to happen good. They were waiting for something good to happen, if that makes any sense. Ked, what did you think?
Well, I know this, you know, as far as, you know, making those adjustments and things like that, you know, that's going to be huge. And like Brad mentioned, and you mentioned, you are going to have bad days. And you know what? And I know coaches say that sometimes just to say it. And I'm not disappointed with them. Like I said, by any stretch of the imagination, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And that's the way I guess, you know, that we should look at it. And I know there's some soul searching. And I'm really curious now, moving forward, guys, with Michigan State looming, what that's going to look like, if Kofi's going to play, if he doesn't play. Because Michigan State is going to crash the glass, whether they're 5'5" or 6'10". You can't get out rebounded and out hustle and not bring it against Michigan State, or it's going to be a long game. And I don't think that whoever left on the schedule, they can lose another game at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best case scenario for a Big Ten champion this year is 4 losses. I think that's probably a best case scenario. So there's going to be some losses down the line here by everybody involved in the chase. And there's probably going to be some that we're going to be surprised by. The only thing that got me annoyed, and this is where I get a little petty, is when I had to listen to the TV guys talk about how great it was that Danny Manning could get his team to win a game that they had to win. And I thought that is some great coaching. You know, I wish when I had a must-win game that I could make sure that the opposing team's best player was out so that I could coach my way to a victory. But that aside, that's me being petty. That aside, I thought Maryland looked, you know, one step faster, and it could be because they were fresher. It could be that, and that's for the coaching staff to decide. But, you know, still, I don't get too worried about it because the last I checked, the last 25 Big Ten games were Illinois is 22-3, I think. So something like that. I can't remember the exact numbers. But so I guess, or maybe they're, 20-3 in the last 23. But either way.
Yeah.
They're
22-6 the last 2 years. 22-6 the last two seasons total. I mean, I just don't know what people want. I mean, I really don't. I mean, if you told me we're going to be 6-2, have an opportunity, you know, with against the team that's probably going to be in first place coming into town, and you got a chance to get back into first place after, what, 9 games. Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
I mean, but we live in the moment. We live in that little time period where we're going to be angry and probably have too many beers, and then social media gives us that outlet, and then we, you know, make fools of ourselves, you know. But it is what it is. I mean, just got to roll with punches. Here's one thing I'll tell you is the coaches are going to be pissed, but they're going to be like, you know what? We got to go. You don't have time. You can't feel sorry for yourself.
Tuesday's going to be here.
Got to win the next one.
Yeah, Tuesday's going to be here quick, and you got the meanest some bitch in the Big Ten who's going to be there. Looking to, and he is not going to have any sympathy if Kofi's there or not there. That team,
Sissoko.
Yeah, there. You know, he's good.
Oh, you meant Izzo? Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you meant the guy who drilled Io. Okay.
Well, he might not care either. But the bottom line is Izzo is going to have his team ready, and they're going to play tough as nails, regardless of Kofi being there, not being there. It won't make any difference. From their standpoint, and Illinois's got to figure out how they're going to match that. And they don't have time to sit and cry. So start looking at game film and start figuring out how you're going to get your team prepared. Ked, final thoughts here, and then we'll go loop around to Brad.
No sense of looking in the past. It's over. You're done with Maryland. Hopefully you'll get them in the Big Ten tournament to go 2-1 against them and to redeem yourself. Move on and get the win against Michigan State. They need a good win, a good quad win anyway. You know, Brad's right. You know, we live in the moment. Tomorrow's going to be over with, and then Sunday and Monday, something good is going to come up on social media, and everybody's going to forget about it, and we'll be happy. And the fans will be happy. We'll be happy as media guys, and they beat Michigan State. And then you ask some fans, they'll probably forget that you even lost to Maryland. So let's just be done with it and just get better. And maybe this is a learning experience. Maybe it's a learning experience for coaches and the players. So that's my ending take on today's loss at Maryland.
Brad, any takeaways from you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad night. Illinois had a bad night. They lost. And you know what? They played 31 games this season in the regular season, and they had a bad one. And you're going to have those. So you got the next one.
Yeah, and like Lou Henson said, you can expect 6, right? At least 6 bad games throughout the season. So I would say the Illinois fans, let's not lose the faith too awful much right now. And to be honest with you, probably my biggest form of concern is just I'm hoping that Kofi makes it through this concussion protocol and gets himself right in the shortest amount of time possible. Obviously, he needs to be healthy first. And maybe that this is exactly what he needs to recharge his batteries and get ready to go for Michigan State. Anything else, Brad?
No, that's it.
I kind of cut you off there. I apologize. So, folks, if you're listening to this, you like this, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular is on. Go to the IlliniGuys.com, check the radio tab and go click on that. And you can see what station in Illinois has the Illini Guys on near you. And you can tune in and listen to it. We're on 2 hours a week, either on Friday or Saturday. Check your local listings. If you get a chance to listen to us, please thank everybody for putting us on the air. And, we also have our other podcast, which is the Sturdy for 30. We also have the Keds Recruiting Roundup that are out there. You want to click into those as well. And as a final thought, the other thing that you need to do, of course, is go to IlliniGuys.com and subscribe. We have a free 7-day trial, and you will get all the inside information, and you will know what happens before it happens. Thank you very much, everybody, and have a great day.